nations. Child of the King, that makes me royalty to a power with no boundaries. You can do anything, you can do all things, so I come with great expectations. Child of the King, that makes me royalty to a power with no boundaries. I come expecting miracles, anticipating wonders that only come by you. You are the God of everything. Take all doubt from me, for you can handle expectations, yes. You are a great God, a mighty God, yes. You can do anything, you can do all things, so here I am, God, with great expectations. We're children of the King.
over my life. Increase my expectation for this service. Increase my expectation for what you can do and will do, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated this morning. God is so good. And sometimes our situations in our lives can help us to, can help us to forget what he can do and wants to do in our lives. Maybe this morning's a good reminder. If this is your first time here, or maybe it's just a couple times, or you're watching online for the first time, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're worshiping with us, with our church, with this community. On behalf of Pastor Roy and his wife and the pastoral staff, we're just excited to have you here. Also, if we have a card, if you're willing to fill this out, we'd like to get to know you a little bit better. A few questions. You can also, there's a Bitly link. If you're online, you can go into the link there. But we're just want to get to know you a little bit better. So God bless you this morning. There's something missing. A lot of children not here right now, right? So no excuse for not hearing from God. No, I'm just kidding. But the kids are in Super Church this morning, where all the kids are together. We're super excited. And there was like games, and I think they're making fun of Brother Brandon. And they're learning about God and puppets and snacks. It's just a fun, awesome environment for the kids for the whole 2-hour period to just get together and learn about how awesome God is. Right? Trying to increase their expectations of what he can do in their life. So with that, we have a video about All Nations Sunday, so we'll let that play.
Goal of reaching every culture with the gospel. Would you support it? Would you support it with prayer? Would you give? I represent Multicultural Ministries of the United Pentecostal Church, and our heartbeat is to evangelize every culture here in North America. We do this by starting focused ministries that target specific cultures and language groups. Then, through these ministries, we create resources that local churches can use to bridge cultural and language barriers. We maintain a website that provides tracts, Bible studies, and even video resources that have been translated into more than 60 languages. Visit globaltracts.com to learn more about that. Another great resource is All Nations Sunday. Each year, we promote a date where churches around North America take time to highlight the diverse cultures of their community. We create resources that churches of any size can use to celebrate our desire for cultural diversity and the inclusive church that we are. And on this date, we encourage churches to receive a sacrificial offering that will bless the ongoing work of multicultural ministries. Many churches host their All Nations Sunday on a different date of the year, but this is the season where we invite you and we encourage you to give. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm asking you to give. Would you partner with us with a one-time gift or even consider a recurring monthly donation? Since we are a church that has sent missionaries all around the world for years, I think it pleases God when we try to evangelize and to reach those same nations that have come to us. At Multicultural Ministries, we feel that there is so much more for us to do. With God's help and with your support financially, we believe that we can reach the global community that has come to North America. Give now by texting the letters ANS to 41444. You can also visit the website shared in the post to give online. I'd like to thank you for watching this video and for taking the time to prayerfully consider giving to support us during this All Nations Sunday campaign. God bless you.
All Nations Sunday is a day that is set aside each year to highlight and celebrate the many cultural and language groups in our communities. To celebrate the community that God sees us as, not a community based on our geography, not a community based on our background, but a community of people that believe in God, regardless of where they come from or what they look like. And so this time, this year, for the United Pentecostal Church International, they celebrate this at different points throughout the year. We celebrate our All Nations Sunday with our Summer Fun Fest in the summer. We have just a big, big fun day all day long with food and speaking and preaching, and all of our daughter churches that are the different languages, Voces Unidas and AIM, they come together and they worship with us. But today is the day we start to, where we think about the offering and we highlight giving for this offering. The All Nations Sunday offering provides support for the multicultural ministries nationally and locally. The multicultural ministries team seeks to bring awareness, to provide training, and to offer resources for every church in North America, assisting them to reach people of all nations that are in their local area. And we do this through organized cultural-based ministries and tracks, as I mentioned in the video. We do this through missionaries. The multicultural ministry program, missionary program, includes missionary couples to partner with local churches in planting daughter works in their area, specifically geared at reaching out to these different communities. 60% of the offerings that you give will go to support MCM, or the Multicultural Ministries, on a North American scale, so it can impact churches that might be smaller or might need something because they don't have the offering. And 40% of your offering supports multicultural ministries on a local and district scale, so stays in this church and in this state. So please, prayerfully consider supporting this work of All Nations Sunday with your Sunday offering. And that rolls right into, we have lots of different ways to give. They had one on the screen there. If you wrote that down, go ahead and do that. But also at Calvary Gospel Church here, we have, you can give online. You have a little, you can put a note in there, ANS if you want, All Nations Sunday, however you want to put it. You can give online. You can give in person. Put it in the box. Put it in an envelope. Write All Nations Sunday on it. You can give by mail if you'd like, same thing. Or you could give with the mobile app. Either way, though, if there's something specific you want to give to, you should write that in there, because we don't know what it was for if you don't. Otherwise, we'll still take the money either way. But if you specifically want to give to this cause, write All Nations Sunday. Next Sunday is Holy Ghost Sunday. So our two services stay the same. 10 a.m. is our adult Sunday school. And then 11 a.m. is a Holy Ghost Sunday service. So we're really excited about that and having the Vernons with us ministering. So be here, bring a friend, and be excited to hear them speak and the Holy Ghost to move. And then looking a little bit farther in advance, November 13th is our Veterans Day service. And that will occur at the 11 a.m. service. So if you have a veteran, invite a veteran. We're going to honor our veterans on November 13th. Let's all stand this morning. They sang about expectations. We talked about it a little bit. But let's pray that God works in our hearts this morning. Do me a favor. Everybody work with me right here. Okay, ready? We're going to breathe in 4 seconds, and we're going to breathe out for 0 seconds. Feels good, right? It's oxygen getting to your brain and to your body. Try it again. We're here to worship God today. We're here to focus on God today. Let the things of your week, your inadequacies, all the things you struggle with or worry about, let them just go to the side and come to God, because He has something He wants to do for you this morning. In the worship, He wants to speak to you with Pastor Roy. Let's pray that God would have His way in our hearts, that He would prepare our hearts. God, thank You for today. Thank You for what You have done already, the moving of Your Spirit, God. God, we want to expect more, God, in this service and in our lives. Prepare my heart. Prepare the hearts of everybody in this building, God, to hear and understand what You have for us. God, Lord, let us leave different. Let us leave having connected with You. Let us leave changed because we have experienced You, God. God, I pray that nothing stands in our way from connecting with You this morning, God. In Jesus' name, we give You the glory. Amen.
Waiting. When the Spirit of the Lord is there, is Shake at the sound of Jesus' name.
Every life
dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it, he did it. Dance like the weight has been lifted. He did it, he did it.
Dance like the weight has been lifted.
Church, and they are worshiping God. They're having their time, but you know what? They worship hard in here. Thank you, Jesus, for our children, for that next generation that is rising up. Today it is our turn. Jesus, we need you, Father. Jesus, we're sacrificing praise to you, Lord. Jesus, we honor you today. If you need something in your life, small or really large, I challenge you to step out into the presence of God. There is freedom there. It may not be your thing, and that's fine. As long as you can say that you left here and you gave all to Jesus in worship, that's what he wants. Lord, we ask that you would move mightily, God, upon the rest of this service. God, anoint our pastor. Anoint every person here, Jesus. Receive honor and glory, God, in what we do. Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord, he is worthy to be praised. Celebrate.
I like what I feel here today. There's a power. There's a presence. Rejoice. If you need something today, you don't have to leave without it. I don't know what you came here looking for, but I believe that the answer is here. The answer is here. Thank you so very much to our worship team. We had a great session, our first Bible lesson this morning, Pastor Peter. Thank you so very much. And we're going to worship. We're not finished with this yet. And you can be seated for a moment, all right? And it is just so great to be in the house of the Lord today. And we had a great Bible study on Wednesday evening. If you were here, Brother Caskey, our elder, spoke, and he did a tremendous job. They're in with the children today. I think he's the bouncer, is what Brother Peter told me. So they're over there with our kids. And it's also great to have my aunt and uncle from Longview, Texas, are here. And they have been joining us most of the services online. They'll be actually leaving to head back home tomorrow. But it's so great to have been able to spend a few weeks with them here visiting with us. They were down in Branson with Glenn and Kitty Rossing the week prior, celebrating their anniversaries. So congratulations on your anniversaries. But we have just a kind of an unusual series that I want to start today. And we're kind of getting into that season. And before some of you just fall off your pews and think, I can't believe that he's going to talk about ghosts and goblins and gremlins, just hear me out on all of this before you make up your mind, okay? It's kind of that year when we start to see the ghosts and the goblins and all sorts of hideous scenes showing up in people's yards. And driving home from work every day, and as I drive through town, you see all kinds of stuff out there. We're entering in. It's Halloween is what the national holiday is, and I'm not a big Halloween fan, but nevertheless, it's here. We deal with it. We see it. We go into the stores. I was in Menards the other day, and I was actually in the Christmas section because they got their Christmas trees up already, and I was looking at some Christmas wreaths and such, how beautiful they were, and I heard this hideous howl behind me, and I turn around, and there's this massive 6 foot tall plus on a shelf, some sort of a huge ogre, I guess is what you'd call them, snarling and laughing. I go into the restaurants, and my wife and I, we go to Black Bear and Cottage Grove from time to time, and if you've ever been in there recently, Halloween is on steroids, a little bit overboard. And they take one of the big, huge skeletons with green eyes, and they turn them into Santa Claus for Christmas. But we have our trick-or-treat candy. That's the only thing I like. Halloween, you get that trick-or-treat candy. It's a freebie. So you get those and the little Reese's peanut butter cups and the Snicker, mini Snickers, all those good candy bars. My wife likes the canned corn candy kernels. How many of you like the little corn? They've always been too sweet for me. When I was a kid, I'd just eat the ends of them off. I don't know what it was. It's like it lasts longer if you just bite all the white off. We talked about this last night, and bite all the white off, and then you bite the yellow, and then you got just a little, or the orange, then you bite the yellow off. It's just kids. You know how that is. You keep your lifesavers till you want to hoard them. I had two brothers, and we had to stash all of our candies because my brothers would find it. And so here we are, this unique time of the year. And I just kind of thought that, you know, you can take and learn some good spiritual lessons out of Halloween. Did you know that? Nobody agrees with me on that? Well, we're going to find out. You're going to find this will be new for you then. So I ran across this actually very unique, timely devotional, and I thought, this has got some really good stuff in it. So I kind of started to work on this, and so many people today, they struggle with their futures. I hear this a lot with the way the climate of the world is, and what's happening next, and where do I think I'm supposed to be? You may be here today wondering, you know, what's God's will or what's God's purpose for my life? And this is mostly talking about our tomorrows. And then we have our todays, which we're in right now. We're experiencing our todays. And then we had our yesterdays. And we take care of today. We work our way through today. And then we deal with issues. And we typically don't deal, most of our issues aren't with our futures or what's going to happen in the future. But most of us, we deal with issues from what happened yesterday. We deal with issues in our past, and time that is already spent, time that is gone, and we can't relive it, we can't fix what went wrong. It's like a vapor. They describe it in the Psalms as life is like a vapor. It's here, and then it's gone, and never to be seen again. So what we're going to do over the next few weeks is we're going to discuss 7 G's to overcome if you want to walk in victory over your past. We're not going to worry so much about our futures. We're not going to worry so much about today, but so much of our past affects us. And we're going to start off talking a first G this morning is we're going to talk about ghosts. Ghosts. Ghosts of our past. I don't know if you remember the Christmas, Charles Dickens' Christmas. They got the Scrooge that they call Ebenezer Scrooge, and he had ghosts of his past and then of the present and of the future. You see, the past is, when I look at ghosts of our past, I look at perhaps maybe a major failure we had, a sin in our lives, and you feel that it's real enough to you, even though it may not be visible to anyone else. You see, popular culture around us today is full of the talk of ghosts. On television programs and in movies, I said especially this time of the year, and when we look at this and we say, well, what does the Bible have to say about ghosts? It says a lot, actually, Pastor Peter. And for the record, there's a lot of Christians who faithfully attend church, that are here today, they believe in God, and who also believe in ghosts. How many of you believe in ghosts today? Better watch it. You're going to get caught. This is a trick question. How many of you believe in ghosts today? How many of you believe in the Holy Ghost today? I better see everybody's hand up because we're going to do a lot of talking about it. You were all reluctant there on me there. What happens? We read in Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. He's walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they cry out. What would you think if you saw Jesus walking on the water? You would think, "Oh my word, it's a ghost." I've never seen anybody walk on water. I've seen people attempt to. You can't run fast. You may take you may go just fast enough to get a little bit. But here they saw Jesus walking on the water, and they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, for it is I." Don't be afraid, guys. It's just me. I'm just out walking, taking a stroll on top of the water. You see, Jesus didn't believe in ghosts, but he knew the truth. But you see, the superstitions within his disciples had evidently brought out of them various folk tales that perhaps they had heard in years past. When they encountered something that they couldn't understand, they immediately assumed that this has got to be a ghost. We also read in Luke chapter 24 in the NIV, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled?" He has been crucified. He's ascended. He's walking on a dark road with his disciples. Why are you troubled, and why do you have doubts that raise up in your minds? Jesus says, "Look at my hands and look at my feet. It is I. Touch me and see me. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." Now, they were very confused because Jesus appeared to them in the middle of nowhere. And they're like, "What is this? Who is this?" Not realizing that it was Jesus. Well, this may be a little bit off subject, perhaps. I want to deal with some myths and questions that people have asked me about ghosts. People have asked me from time to time. They want me to come over and they want me to anoint their home or their apartment. I've had folks ask me to pray for or pray out dead spirits because someone who died in their home, they wanted to make sure that there were no spirits living in their home. And I began to think about this actually as I was putting this together. The home that I live in, an elder farmer who had built this as his retirement home actually died in our home. So we had somebody die in our house. It's kind of freaky when you think about it. Some nights I think I hear them fumbling around somewhere, but it's really just the furnace, or it's Nancy stumbling down the hallway in the dark, or my wife. I mean, I've yet to run into the ghost of Mr. Stolen. That was his name, Gary Stolen, I believe. I've yet to run into him. And funny story, I was talking with my dad about this, making sure my memory served me well. He was no help. So anyway, years ago, we had gone up to church camp to work. And we go up there every year, and we were just up there a few weeks ago. But there's the old Holtz house that was the original farmhouse on the camp. And we went up there. We got there at nighttime. Now, you have to understand, there's no lights outside. House has been abandoned, or empty. I shouldn't say abandoned. Has been emptied for years. And we go in. It's dark outside. There's these big, huge, giant trees around. It's the makings of a really good, scary movie. We get there. It's my dad and I. We're supposed to meet some other guys coming up in the morning. And we go in, and the inside of the house, everything is draped with sheets. All the furniture has sheets over it. And the couch and the lamps. And it's really kind of spooky. I'm like 15, 16 years old maybe, and we go upstairs, and Dad just says, "Well, son, you can stay in here," and he turns on the light, and there's no light bulb in the ceiling, and he fumbles around, and we find a pull chain on a lamp. We take the sheet off, and the bed's got a sheet over it, and I'd lay my sleeping bag out. I'm a little bit reluctant to go to sleep right away. Just brought a book with me because I love to read. So I'm sitting there reading my book in a sleeping bag, all kind of nestled in. My dad opens up the door and pokes his head in, and he says, "Son," just out of the blue, something a good loving dad would say to his son, "Son, I think Sister Holtz died in this very house." And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what's the purpose of that? He doesn't stop there, though. He wanted to make sure I got a really good night's sleep. So he says, "You know, actually," he says, "I think this was her room." He said, I think she died in this very room. And now I'm really starting to, you know, I'm not real superstitious, but I am, you know, I was one of those kids that when you go down the basement stairs in the dark, you go down slow and you come back up really fast because you don't know what may be behind you. You ever do that? You walk out to take your trash out in the dark. You go all the way down to the street. You get to the street, and you boogie back to the house. So I'm sitting there, and he says, yep, I think she died in this very room. In fact, son, I am almost positive the very bed you're sleeping in, she died in. In fact, it's probably the same sheets, and he just closes the door. And here I am sitting there thinking to myself, you have got to be kidding me. Needless to say, he slept real good that night. Myself, not so good. In fact, I don't ever remember turning the light off the whole night. And I woke up a number of times because every little noise you hear, I kept expecting something, even though I didn't believe in that. So the question that's asked of me a number of times is, can dead people haunt houses? You never thought you'd hear this, the message this morning, did you? Bible says in the book of Job, I just want to answer some superstitions that we sometimes get caught up in. Job is telling us in his book, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, as the cloud disappears and vanishes away, so he who goes down to the grave does not come up. What Job is saying is, he goes on to say, he shall never return to his house, nor shall his place know him anymore. So you can be assured that your house will never be haunted by any other kind of a spirit of a dead person. Now, there are spirits out there. I believe that as much as we have angels, we have the demonic side. We have demons. And there's two-thirds angels and one-third of spirits. We see all sorts of TV shows of people trying to communicate with the dead, desperate to hear from family members who's passed on. Can the dead come back and communicate with the living? Well, not according to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. And they have no reward, for their memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have to share in anything done under the sun. Perhaps you've heard that people who die without closure or unfinished business, I've heard this before. Well, he never got to say his piece, so he's coming back to haunt us. No, not according to Scripture. We read also in Psalms 146:6, when his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans. So any kind of a future that you have, once you're gone, you're gone. We're in eternity. We're not coming back. Whatever dreams, whatever visions, whatever plans I have, when I seal my lips in death, those plans cease. I don't come back later in some other form and finish them. And neither will you. So we talk about ghosts this morning. You didn't expect this when you came here this morning, because I'm getting a lot of folks looking at me like, are you kidding me? A Sunday morning evangelistic message and you're talking about ghosts? Well, you know, there is one ghost that is real. There is one ghost that I know is real because I have experienced it, I have felt it, and it actually lives inside of me. Figure that one out. You see, Jesus says in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, understand, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he called him, his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. We read in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So what Jesus is doing is he is setting his disciples up for the ultimate power in the Holy Ghost. other than they don't know what this is yet. We read in Acts 1 and 8, and Pastor Peter took us through the book of Acts this morning. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Can you say the Holy Ghost? Some people call it the Holy Spirit. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. We love Acts 2:38 because it talks about our best, powerful, favorite ghost again. And Peter said unto them, repent. They say, what shall we do? He's preaching on the day of Pentecost. He preaches a message. They get all convicted in their hearts. They're feeling terrible about what they have done and their sins and their pasts and all of these things. And Peter says, repent. It means about face. Turn around and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 19:6. And when Paul laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. You see, the Holy Ghost, the only ghost that we ever need to concern ourselves with, isn't about some ghost, some farmhouse. Sister Holtz is gone. Gary Stolen is gone. Your grandmas, if whoever in your life that's passed, they're gone. But the only ghost you need to concern yourself with is the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is there, and the Holy Ghost can erase your past. I'm so thankful that my past is my past. He can erase your past and is waiting for your future. So the first G on things to overcome for godly victorious living is you need the ghost. You need the Holy Ghost active and powerful in your life. And if you don't have it this morning, you can leave this place with it. Now we're going to close with this next point because I feel a bit of a heaviness on some of you this morning. And we're going to talk about gorillas. Gorillas. Big problems that look at you and let you know that they're the ones that are in charge. Webster's Dictionary surprisingly actually has a definition for the 800-pound gorilla. As one that is dominating or uncontrollable because of the great power and size. Like it or not, the 800-pound gorillas of our lives are usually what sets the standard in how we live. A habit. When we look at life, a habit is a tendency to do something wrong simply because you've been unwilling or unable to take dominion over the 800-pound gorilla that's in your life. The Bible shows us exactly how to deal with such a problem when we have such a beast of a problem that is facing us. Now, our 800-pound gorillas can be all kinds of things, Pastor Peter. Maybe you're here today and you have a sickness that's your 800-pound gorilla. Maybe you have a financial problem that's your 800-pound gorilla. Maybe you've got something in your marriage. Maybe it's a relationship. I don't know what your 800-pound gorilla is, but the Holy Ghost will help you overcome that 800-pound gorilla in your life. We read in Psalms chapter 34, 7, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. So we can read this as it applies to us. As I said, we need to take the word of God and make it personal. As the righteous, as I cry out for help, the Lord hears and delivers me from my 800-pound gorilla. Are you with me this morning? How many of you have an 800-pound gorilla in your life? You don't have to be embarrassed. We all have it. We all have things in our lives that we deal with and that we struggle with. So one of the problems that we face as a Christian is believe that we can handle whatever scary problem that we're facing by ourselves. We just finished a series on boundaries. I've had so many people say this was such a helpful series because I have struggled for years with setting boundaries in my life. How many of you did your homework and sat down with your families and set boundaries? Thank you for doing that. Those of you that haven't done it, you need to do it. I'm going to keep asking you. Because if you don't have boundaries, as I've said this, if you don't set boundaries, somebody else will set them for you. So, it's often said that you tolerate what you accept. So if you tolerate the existence of any kind of a sin or any kind of an 800-pound gorilla in your life, then you've accepted that as part of your life if you tolerate that. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes we need to just say enough is enough. I'm done fighting some of these same battles over and over and over again. So we're going to read as we close. You can stand to your feet. Romans chapter 6. This is a very, very powerful passage of Scripture. Sin, reading from the NLT, sin need never again be your master, for now you are no longer tied to the law where sin enslaves you, but you are free under God's favor and mercy. What does this mean? For now we can go ahead and sin and not worry about it? For our salvation does not depend on keeping the law, but on receiving God's grace. And Paul says, of course not. Don't you realize that you can choose your own master? We have choices that we make every day in our lives, and we can choose. When they said, choose you this day, Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. We have choices that we make every day. So it says, choose your own. You can choose your own master. You can choose sin, which ultimately leads to death, or obedience, with acquittal, which ultimately leads to life. The one to whom you offer yourself, he will take you and be your master, and you will be his slave. Thank God that though you once chose to be slaves of sin, now you have obeyed with all your heart the teaching to which God has committed you. And now you are free from your old master. You are free from sin, and you have become slaves to your new master, righteousness. You cannot serve two masters at the same time. We're either going to serve our sinful, selfish desires, or we're going to serve God with peace, righteousness. So we talked about ghosts, about the Holy Ghost, and about the necessity for the Holy Ghost. We talk about 800-pound gorillas. That problem, whatever it is that you're suffering with in your life. And the Holy Ghost will help you overcome your gorilla. So as our worship team begins to sing, I want to open up this time, this altar, the front here. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, it's very simple. As Peter said, repent. That means that whatever you've done in your life, that's a sin, but that's wrong. The Bible says we've all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you're looking around thinking, well, I'm glad I haven't sinned, well, you're a liar and you just sinned, okay? Or you have pride, and pride is a sin. So we repent. We say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Sorry for my thoughts, my actions. And we ask him to forgive us. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ forgives us from our sins. I don't know what it would be like to be trapped eternally in my sin. It be so frustrating. It's frustrating enough dealing with the issues of life, but to be trapped in your sin. And then it says to be baptized. Why baptize? Well, as Christ spent 3 days in the heart of the earth, we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to be baptized in water. I don't know what it, there's not any miracle in the water. It's not like some special water that we order in just for baptism. It comes right out of the same tap that you're drinking out of, the drinking fountains. It comes out of the same pipes. But there's just something about going down in the name of Jesus. And as you go down in the name of Jesus, remember, he was given all power in heaven and earth. Belongs to me. That's what he said. All power and all authority. Authority over sickness. Authority over sin. Authority over those 800-pound gorillas in your life. And then we come up after being washed free. The Bible says that those sins that are washed away in baptism, he will remember no more. How many of you have friends that you've done things to offend them and they're never going to let you forget about it? Maybe you've offended someone, your friends never let you forget about it. I'm so thankful that when Jesus says that when you're baptized, your sins, it says as far as the east is from the west, I will remember them no more. So when the enemy comes after you boo-boo again and the enemy comes and says, oh, what about so-and-so? And the Lord's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And then the Holy Ghost. So yes, there is a ghost, but it's not like any other type of a ghost that we've ever seen or heard. It's the power, the spirit of an almighty, all-living, all-powerful, all-knowing God that dwells inside of us. Why? To help us take away those and fight those 800-pound gorillas in our lives. So maybe this morning you've already received the Holy Ghost and maybe you haven't spoken in tongues. That's the evidence. How do you know that you received the Holy Ghost? By speaking in tongues. It's a heavenly language. I don't give it. We don't have classes here that teach you how to get it. It's a heavenly language. That's between you and God. God gives it to you. And you'll know when you got it. You'll know when you got it. So as our praise team begins to sing, I want to open up this altar. Seven things. We just talked about two of them today. Ghosts and gorillas. You want the Holy Ghost? You want to get rid of something? I want to open up this altar. It's an opportunity. God bless you.
Jesus, over every heart and every mind.
Starts to break.
It is broken.
Declaring there is hope and there.
strongholds.
Break every stronghold.
And shine through the shadows.
Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Darkness over every end. stronghold.
Break every stronghold.
And shine through the shadows.
Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Shout Jesus from the mountains.
Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains,
Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
Jesus for my family.
Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. And Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Is everybody like really tired today or something? Praise the Lord. It's been a beautiful, beautiful weekend. And it will probably be the last beautiful 70 degree weekend we have until March or April. Now by faith, we'll have another one next week, and the reality of things are. So thank you for coming today. Remember seven things. We just talked about two of them. We'll continue this on Wednesday. Remember next Sunday we have Holy Ghost Sunday with Brother Ben and Sister Vicki Vernon. And also, don't forget your children before you leave. I know some of you are enjoying this moment, but you have to take them with you. Don't forget. God bless you. And we will see you here on Wednesday evening. God bless.